You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Small red squares, pinned to a shirt or jacket, or taped to a window. People of all ages on their balconies, rhythmically banging pots and pans with wooden utensils. And on the 22nd of the last 4 months, massive demonstrations. The popular rebellion in Quebec is daily visible and audible. It began and continues now for over 100 days as a strike of cégep and university students demanding a freeze on tuition fees. With government intransigence and repressive response, wider sections of the population have become involved, and accumulated grievances with neoliberalism are finding new expression. But the struggle is far from simple, and to explore some of the challenges, I'm joined by Roger Annis. He's a writer, social justice activist, and a retired aerospace worker. He's recently returned from Quebec, and we've reached him by phone this morning in Victoria. Good morning, Roger, and welcome back to Red Eye.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Yesterday was the 22nd of June and a day for major mobilization of supporters. What news do you have of the turnout and breadth of the mobilizations?
Well, I'm happy to report it was quite successful. In Montreal, there were many tens of thousands of people. We haven't been able to find a precise number, but both media as well as participants agree on tens of thousands of people. And something new this time, in Quebec City, there was a large demonstration that coincided. This is the first time in the now four events on the 22nd of the month, beginning in March, where there's been a large demonstration in Quebec City coinciding with the Montreal demonstration. There were 4,000, 5,000 people in Quebec City. And then two other places in Quebec, in the Gaspé region, and on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River, where actions were held by students and supporters. So quite a successful day. For those media that reported on the day, and unfortunately that does not include the Globe and Mail, the Vancouver Sun, believe it or not, CBC Radio News yesterday evening, but for those who did report, they stressed that yesterday's action was smaller than the three preceding ones. But I thought that Quebec Solidaire co-leader Amir Kadir had a good response to that. He said, it's the summer. People have been mobilized for months now. They're taking a bit of time off. But the government of Premier Jean Charest would make a very big mistake if he thought somehow that the student movement was running out of steam, running out of will. We will see this all reach the same kinds of numbers again in a couple of months when the school year resumes.
About 2 weeks ago, Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois, he's the co-chair of the large and the most radical of the student federations, CLOS, gave a speech analyzing the current situation. What were the main points that he made?
A very interesting talk indeed. CLOS has been saying since its founding, and it goes back to its founding goes back to an association in 2001 called ASSE, and then ASSE was enlarged into a broader coalition on the same kind of radical social justice program. But since its inception, it's been advocating not just for affordable education, but for a more socially just society. And so CLOS wants not just a freeze in tuition fees. It wants to see a government and society that would be providing free education to youth and to others in Quebec, just as it stands for things like better and free health care, because presently Quebecers pay a tax, a premium on health care, protection of the environment, and so on. And so in the talk that he gave a couple of weeks ago, He's looking at the broader society. He's saying, look, we've done everything we can as students. We've mobilized in the hundreds of thousands. At some points in time, we've had 75% of post-secondary students on strike in Quebec. We've had the neighborhood committees, the pots and pans movement, as it's been called, that have sprung into action, getting organized, expanding. And still, we haven't been able to push the government back on the tuition freeze. And so he explained, well, this is, you know, what we've talked about since the inception of CLOS, is that we need to rally the whole working class movement for a socially just society. And in the particular case of education, we can't win this fight alone. We need the broader sections of society to come in behind us. And in the talk that he gave 2 weeks ago, he talked specifically about the unions. We want to see the trade unions become mobilized, and not just for us, not just to prevent the tuition fee hike that the government wants to bring in, but to bring the workers' own interests into this as well. And that's the appeal that he launched at the talk. Class has embarked on a whole program of activity this summer to stimulate discussion on this idea throughout the province of Quebec. They'll be holding conferences, not just in the big cities, but in the smaller towns as well. And they've already been, they'll be printing up shortly some print material that will make this case for what they call a social strike in the province to tackle the whole broad range of social justice and environmental issues that clearly the majority of people in the province feel very concerned about.
Well, there are two other major student union federations in addition to CLAS. They go by the acronyms FEC and FUG. What is the response of these two federations to the perspective which you've just outlined that Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois is calling to implement?
Well, I think it's very much a discussion in process in Quebec. We had the very good fortune this past week in Vancouver of being able to hear from two of the leaders of FUC. That's the University Student Association, Martine Desjardins and Yannick Gradois. Traditionally, FUC and then the CEGEP Association, FAC, that you mentioned, both have come from a more of a tradition of lobbying government for improvements in education. But things are very much in flux because the hard line that the government has taken is things have changed. The government's now less willing to listen to reason, if I could put it that way. And also, of course, the draconian Bill 78, which was adopted on May the 18th, really changed the rules of the game entirely. And this is one reason why the biggest protest of all to date in Quebec was 4 days following the adoption of Bill 78. There's outrage right across Quebec society against this bill. So this is very much affecting all of the existing student organizations. So you can't really say anymore, well, this one stands for this and this one stands for that. Martine, for example, was asked the question here in Vancouver on Tuesday evening, what's the opinion and stance of her federation, the FUC, towards the idea of a social strike? She said, well, we're going to talk about it over the course of the summer. So they're not saying yes. They're not entirely in tandem with CLAS on this issue, and yet, this is a very dynamic situation, and the government is really changing the rules of the game. The old ways of doing things don't work anymore. So one thing that's been impressive throughout this the student strike, and it began in February, is the deep degree of cooperation and solidarity between the different student organizations. And this is in the face of very intense efforts by the government and also by major media in Quebec to divide them and to say, oh, you guys shouldn't have anything to do with CLAS, it's radical, it's intransigent, why don't you just come and chat with us and we'll see what we can do. And very much to the credit of all the student organizations, they stood up against these attempts to divide them and really still to this day present a very firm and united front in the face of the government's 75% tuition fee hike proposal.
What do you know, what can you tell us about the perspective of the three main trade union federations towards continuing the struggle and expanding it into a common front against neoliberalism, which is what CLAS is proposing?
Again, yes, very much something being discussed. The unions in Quebec and also right across Canada have been providing important support to the student struggle. They've been providing funding, including to the important legal defense fund that the associations have, because Bill 78 and the government's whole efforts have been really to break the student associations, to just make them either break them or just so weak and ineffective that they can't be a factor anymore. So very important support has come from unions. I mentioned in particular the postal workers. I haven't seen others. I'm sure they've done similar initiatives. So that's been good. And certainly in the education sector in Quebec, the unions of teachers as well as post-secondary professors have been very, very supportive of all of the student federations. The issue of the social strike and and whether the student struggle should be the spark for a broader mobilization and participation by society against a whole range of retrograde policies by the government is very much up for discussion now. And, you know, officially the leaders of the three union centrals that you mentioned, the FTQ, the CSN, and the CSQ, have not been favorable to the social strike idea. In fact, we saw a correspondence at the end of May from the FTQ just out and out discouraging unions from elsewhere across Canada supporting any of the student associations that advocate a social strike, or in fact even that advocate defiance of Bill 78, which is a popular and necessary thing to do in Quebec. So, yeah, so there's a debate to be had very much in the unions on this question, which I'm sure is happening, in these days very, very intensely. It's so we could say, I think, the union structures, the union leaderships at this stage are not one to this idea of the social strike, which is really just a word for saying, do we join with the students in fighting for a better society or not?
Undoubtedly, and it would be my own comment, the unions could learn something about the democratic process of the student federations who involve their memberships actively in deciding on what strategies and actions they'll undertake.
Oh, very much. I thought that was a very strong point that Martine and Yannick from the FUC made in their presentation in Tuesday of this past week in Vancouver, which, by the way, I should mention was hosted by the BC Federation of Labor and the Canadian Federation of Students. Yeah, they really stressed that. I was quite impressed with that. They said, you know, if we've been able to stand up to the government for 4 months and now stand up to Bill 78, a lot of that is because we have this practice of having General assemblies where every member of the association gets to have a say in what we decide, and then we carry out what the members decide. That really came through very strongly in their talks, and also in the presentations that the three class activists made by a teleconference the following evening, also here in Vancouver.
I'd like to end with your comments on the possibilities of an upcoming election. A week ago, there was a major festival in Montreal. The leaders of the student federations were invited on stage by one of Quebec's most popular bands. They and the huge audience joined in singing the song, apparently now quite popular in Quebec, titled Liberate Us from the Liberals. And for Charest's part, there's talk of him calling an early election, perhaps even in August, as his last resort to end the student rebellion. What are your observations on the electoral dynamics in Quebec at the present time?
It's a really big question, and it actually keeps getting bigger. The concert you mentioned was, fabulous. That's Loco Locas, they're called, 8 days ago on Friday. It was a wonderful thing to watch the student leaders up there on stage singing along with the band. The first response of the Charest government to the student strike was to try and ignore it. They literally told the student leaders back in January, February, you guys will never go on strike. We saw that in 05, but we're not going to see a repeat. Well, that didn't work, obviously. But then they came in with Bill 78, which, very draconian penalties against the student organizations, but also that suspended the school year at the strike-bound institutions until the middle of August. That's when school is going to resume now. And then they hoped, I guess, they had some pipe dream that students were just going to give up and go away. Well, clearly that's not happening. So the other ace up the sleeve now on the part of the government is an election. They have about 17 months left in their mandate. The Charest government was elected in 2008. So they can call an election literally any day, but most observers are looking at an election call in the month of August, because one major factor squeezing the government is the Charbonneau Commission. This is a special commission of inquiry that the Charest government was obliged to convene last year. Its public hearings began earlier this month. It's headed by Justice France Charbonneau, and it's looking into the corruption in the construction industry, and how that overlaps with the government and also with the governing parties of Quebec. And this goes back several decades. That's the span of time that the Commission is looking at. How the awarding of contracts and also the overseeing of construction work was deeply, deeply corrupted. And to say how deep this goes, a former head of the Anti-Corruption Commission of the government of Quebec, when he testified this past week, he said that in his opinion, 70% of the funding that's been going into the major political parties in Quebec in the last couple of decades, 70% of it has been outside of the law, because as we know, the law regulates how political parties can be funded or not. So that's how deep this thing goes. So there's the government sitting here now saying, well, okay, we're going to have the strike probably resuming in August, but the longer we wait, the more the Charbonneau Commission is going to be doing its work and all this stuff is coming out in the public. So that's kind of what the government is looking at. Now, interestingly, here comes the federal government into the scene. We find out just in the last 24 hours, the Quebec media has been able to find out that Prime Minister Harper has been meeting with Brian Mulroney and also other conservative party leaders from the previous era of conservative party governments in Canada, talking about what's the federal government going to do if the Parti Québec law gets elected, because that's what the polls show right now. There'll be an important increase in support to Quebec Solidaire, but if an election were to be held tomorrow, very, very possible that the Parti Québec law would be elected, because it said it, you know, that it's not going to carry through the 75% increase. They'll talk about some other increase that won't be quite as harsh. So big issues at stake, and that this will all be played out in the weeks to come, and quite possibly at this stage we're looking at an election call in the month of August.
Well, thank you very much, Roger, for your insights and observations, and naturally we'll keep abreast of these and speak more about them.
Okay, it's been good talking to you.
I've been speaking with Roger Annis. He's a writer, social justice activist, and a retired aerospace worker, and he recently returned from Quebec.